Welcome, everybody. Another episode of Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris are on the other end. It is a wonderful final March of this 2021, which only means one thing. Very, very soon, we will have the full edition of the March 25. Go ahead and become a $10 subscriber on a Patreon for that. Patreon.com/barbershairnet. We are 2 weeks away from WrestleMania night one. As we're recording this, you'll hear this likely on Monday. So we're less than 2 weeks away from the whole shindig. We got some stuff that we're going to try to work on next week. Get that off to you guys. And you guys got WrestleMania content all week. But before we move on the road to WrestleMania, we must stop at the Fast Lane. Because things happened at the Fast Lane that wound up impacting WrestleMania in a major way, mainly the Universal Championship. If you watched the match the other night from Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, you can bitch and complain up and down all you want. That was a tap, and it was a wonderful tap. They played it perfectly because a week ago I was right here and I said, yeah, I'm not here for a triple threat I'm not here for them inserting Bryan into this. And after the last couple of SmackDowns, and it's now a triple threat, I think that I'm here for it. I think I'm heel for a heel Roman Reigns versus a babyface Daniel Bryan versus a kind of playing both sides of what made him great Adam Copeland. This looks kind of fun.
Yeah, and if they were going to do a triple threat, that was certainly a smart way to pull it off. I was intrigued to see how they were going to do it. I thought maybe Edge would get involved and Bryan would have a claim. I didn't think that they would go so far as to have the visual of Roman tapping out. I thought that was smart. I thought that was really, really well done. I thought the way the match played itself out was really well done. I think it was a highlight on an otherwise... It was an eventful show, but I don't think it was a very good show for once. I think they've put up two stinkers of pay-per-views in a row, which is a rarity for them, considering usually, you know, no matter how much of slogs their TV can be, their pay-per-views usually hit. I don't think the last two have quite as much as the others have recently. However, the main event definitely was able to land promptly and swiftly on its feet. And like I said, I think they pulled off the angle where the triple threat makes sense, and it's the best possible option for them, I think, at this point. So job well done for them executing that as well as they did.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, I think we're all kind of on the fence about the triple threat, and they did a good job pulling it off. And, you know, you've seen people kind of complain a little bit like, oh, Bryan doesn't need to be in the match. It's going to be a good match. I mean, Roman and Edge would have been good too, but I'm not going to complain about getting to watch, you know, these three guys have a match.
I mean, yeah, and in fairness, it's not like, no offense to Edge and Roman, the feud was fine, but like, it's not like it was
Daniel fucking Bryan.
Yeah, it's Daniel Bryan, and it's not like it was, you know, red hot, and then they inserted Daniel Bryan for nothing.
Well,
so because I keep seeing people compare Charlotte being added to Ronda and Becky, and it's like it's nowhere close to that.
Well, and I've seen
you can do the comparison, but yeah, there is a difference between Bryan getting inserted into the match and Charlotte getting into the match. But the circumstances, I think, are the biggest difference because you know, the only reason they put Charlotte into the match was, you know, they wound up doing the title and title thing,
exactly.
Right? While here it is with Bryan, and they've like left the tether there, seemingly since the end of last year, kind of. Mm-hmm. It's just that Bryan has lost all his way to get here, which I think is another very interesting wrinkle to throw in there. It's like, yo, why do you have this match? You technically lost your way into this match, while Edge got it fair and square.
Yeah,
I mean, a man that usually doesn't win his championships fair and square.
And I didn't like Bryan being like, oh, Edge didn't do anything to earn the match. But, you know, that's kind of a small thing to.
He's delusional.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen people compare it to WrestleMania 30, which I think is even a worse comparison than the Charlotte one. Because they're like, oh, you know, the build was bad like it was to Batista and Orton. And, you know, they need Bryan to come save it. I think that's very revisionist because
very, very revisionist.
People wanted Bryan to be in it from the start. So.
And also, Bryan was not interacting with the people in the world title feud until the Occupy Raw stuff.
Yeah.
Because he was involved with the Wyatt family. And then that angle ended, and then he eventually just jumped right in. Brian has technically been involved with the world title stuff for since January, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, do you guys think that they think that Edge is too old or whatever, or is that just, no. I mean, that's just something that's popped up the past couple days.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think if they thought Edge was too old, they wouldn't be having him work as much.
Well, yeah, I don't think he would have won the Rumble.
Now, how old is Edge exactly? He's 46, 47?
47, yes.
Yeah.
47. They just had Goldberg win a world championship, and Goldberg is how old?
55, I believe.
Yeah. Fuck. 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 Yeah, there's no excuse for why Edge can't be out here doing that. And like, I'm gonna be real with you. To me, Edge is more of a draw than Goldberg at this stage in their careers.
Yeah.
I think you can do more with Edge than you can with Goldberg.
Goldberg is there off of name appeal. Edge is there because he's recognizable to a lot of, you know, us who grew up in around that time who are now adults. We get to pass that on to another generation. Mm-hmm. And then also just the fact that he's younger and coming off of that injury. The story is just, it's there. It's ready made. Yeah.
Well, agreed.
You're 55 and you're trying to get your come up against Brock because you had this shitty match 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And with Goldberg, to be fair to him, I think I think they do a good job with him, but like, he's very, you know,
you're getting 5 minutes at a time out of him.
Mm-hmm. You know what
Edge,
you're
like, Edge is you know way, what you're getting out of it.
Yeah. Edge is significantly more versatile. And with Goldberg, it's one note and it's a good note to some, but it's very one note and you know what's going to happen. You know how the match is going to go. You know how it's going to end with Edge. There's still a lot of unknown because he's only wrestled like, you know, three full matches since he's, you know, come back, three or four, whichever one it is.
Well, and also, it's four. You know, on the most basic level, I like that it adds intrigue because you could see any of these three guys winning.
Agreed.
So, you know, I mean, adding Brian, you know, if you thought, oh, Edge is going to win to get his big moment, you know, adding Brian throws a wrinkle into that. If you thought, oh, you know, Roman's going to win because he shouldn't lose yet. Well, now he can lose without actually losing. So it's interesting.
And Roman can lose without actually losing, be protected. And also they can just have him, you know, win it back really easily.
So I like it. I think it's very good. I think it adds a lot to that match and, you know, definitive night two main event of the entire program. You know,
it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a real good one. Before we talk about some of the other matches on the Mania card, the second biggest news in the wrestling world this week dropped right after, I almost called it Payback, Fastlane ended. Andrade was being granted his release. I saw him say something the other day about no 90 days, but I do believe that that's true because I don't believe that one bit.
Yeah, because that was, I think the Observer had it first and then Andrade tweeted it. So, I mean, I guess, you know, you don't have to necessarily believe it because he hasn't shown up anywhere yet. So it could still technically not be true. But
I mean,
based on everything we've heard.
Yeah, I mean, technically speaking, where is he going to go right away? He can't go to, he couldn't go to the Ring of Honor show because they already taped that.
That's true.
So. There was nowhere.
And also, if he goes to the Ring of Honor show, someone's going to have to cut me a check.
I think a lot of people expect him to show up on Dynamite this week, but I mean,
I don't see him showing up on Dynamite until after WrestleMania. And like I said, like the way that I read it was like, yeah, he'll probably do some negotiations, but not appear. I still don't see him appearing for another 90 days, but we'll see. It's going to be AEW. I think if he goes anywhere else but AEW, he's doing a disservice to himself.
Yeah, I mean,
I would be shocked if he went anywhere else, and I would hope that AEW didn't cash strap themselves by signing Christian and Big Show and not be able to.
I don't believe that though. Like that. I just think that that's out there to soften the blow if they don't get him.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it seems. If that's the case, then that's a whiff by them.
Because how much are you giving Christian Big Show? Unless you're giving them like 1997 WCW deals.
I mean, we don't know what the terms of these deals are.
Yeah, I mean,
I would hope that they would be able to spend all their money in the right place.
But it's also interesting with AEW because, you know, of the quarterly pay-per-view thing where it looks like Double or Nothing's probably going to be already set for Omega against Christian. So
yeah,
if you do bring Andrade in and you assume you want to push him right to the top, because you should.
But also, like,
then you're looking at not till Labor Day till they can do something, because they don't run anything in the summer, really.
This is just a general take from just the outside looking in. I don't know if it necessarily feels like they have too many dudes, but it kind of feels like they have too many people.
They have a lot, but they have a lot of programming.
But that's the thing. Like, you know, I know that Dark and Dark Elevation are what they are, but like from my experience watching them, there's no substance to those shows.
Well, the
matches
not,
are all very short, and they have a lot of matches. It's like
it's just guys who are signed beating people who are not signed.
That, exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
exactly. But,
you know, they.
I think that they should sign him, but at the same time, I want to hope that expectations may not be, you know, where they're at, because there's just, it feels like there's a lot of people there.
Well, yeah, but I think they do a good job shuffling people in. Like, John Silver had a TNT title match this week. You know,
someone like Andrade should be pushed in the world title conversation.
Well, yeah,
he's that good, and that's why it's stupid that that WWE couldn't find anything for him.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's of all the people who are like, oh yeah, they dropped the ball with him or her. Like, they dropped the ball with Andrade.
Yeah,
there's no question about it.
Yeah,
100%. And they're dropping the ball with Aleister Black. I don't know. Because yes, while they drop the ball, it's unequivocally they drop the ball. Part of me is also like, yeah, they're better off in AEW. Maybe Tommy End is better off in AEW, where he's not hamstrung by the Vince McMahon-ness of it all. You know, so
yeah,
maybe this isn't a bad thing that all three of them, plus Taya Trinidad, wind up leaving. I think this is probably best case scenario for everybody in this situation, because Vince and the powers that be in the Federation don't have to force themselves to do this because they're good and the fans want them and yada, yada, yada. And they get what they want too. They get to make money, or close to the money that they were making in WWE. And, you know, they're already big draws. You know, Tommy End can come into AEW and automatically be amazing. Andrade, La Sombra, whatever he's going to be, Andrade El Idolo, maybe.
Yeah.
He can come in with Taya, and then boom, they pick up right where they're left off. Like, it's going to be best for everybody to me in this scenario, to the point where, like, I can't crush WWE because it's going to be best for everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what you're looking for, is just, you know, the wrestlers being in the best situation for them. But, you know, the thing about Aleister Black, he could come back the night after WrestleMania and win like a number one contenders match for the Raw title, and no one would care. Everyone would be fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, he could come back and they could heat him up, and he'd
be heated up instantly. He's been at the Performance Center. He got banged up a little bit the other day, because I was surprised. I didn't know what he's been doing, but yeah, there was a report that he got like some minor injuries, and another one came out that he's just been kind of working at the Performance Center. So I don't know if they.
I've heard the same regarding Andrade, and rather Aleister in the Performance Center, that he's working towards a comeback. So I would imagine he'll be back around WrestleMania or after WrestleMania.
I don't know if they were just like, you know, go home for a little bit, you know, make sure everything's okay at home. Because, you know, it's an awkward situation. Obviously. Ultimately, would I be surprised if he leaves the next year?
No.
I mean, you know, we've seen it with Renee. We've seen it with, you know, AJ. And it's not even necessarily an awkward thing. It's just you have that familiarity with the person around you so much, and then they're not. But it'll be interesting. And this is kind of a good reason. This is a competition we've all been looking for, where, you know, I've talked about this before. You weren't, before AEW, you weren't having guys, you know, get their release and go to Impact or go to, you know, Ring of Honor. But now you have a full-fledged, you know, second national promotion with a big deal, where, you know, there is that sense of competition and guys can jump.
Mm-hmm. And more guys in WWE are sensing the worth that AEW brings, and they're not just gonna settle for anything. Like when Sasha had her little blow up a couple of years ago, you know, obviously she said she was just gonna leave, probably go do some movies or shit. But would she have gone to AEW? Hell yes. She saw the writing on the wall with AEW. I think she definitely would have went and been the anchor of that division. We saw with Brody, RIP. You know, Brody left maybe 2 months after AEW Dynamite started. So he knew the writing on the wall there, and he was going to be a major star before when it unfortunately ended up happening to him. Yeah. So you're going to see more guys, maybe a Peyton Royce, you know, her husband's already over there. So it's like, fuck. She probably knows too, because Perfect Jagoff is probably like, yo, you know, the greener pastures are over here, you know, come join the winning team.
I don't want to be mean to Peyton Royce, but she would also be lost in that women's division.
Yeah, she would.
She's not very
good. I'm not saying she wouldn't be, yeah. But I'm just saying, like...
No, I know.
What would you rather be, lost in the... I mean, actually, no, let me take that back, because of course you'd rather be in WWE than AEW. It's the different money. The different money, the different name recognition. Maybe not right now, because I guess the pitch would be, hey, I get to travel the world. You ain't going nowhere right now. But yeah, let's move on from Andrade. Wish him the best of luck wherever he ends up, but it better be an AEW, better not be ROH, because we found out earlier this week that Keith Lee is being held out for some health issues. They're a little bit deeper than the COVID that took him out for a couple weeks. I know people started to speculate that because it's been more than a month, and
yeah,
now we kind of got an answer. So obviously the bigger thing here is Keith's health. We hope he's all right. But damn, because he was just getting heated up and about to win the U.S. championship, and then that's two major blows back to back.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, he probably would have factored pretty highly into their WrestleMania plans, you'd have to imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, the COVID has just, it's been a lot on him, you know, without getting into it too much. But, you know, I hope he can get back as soon as possible.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, that's, and I mean, like you said, it seemed like there's been a trickle down in the U.S. title scene ever since he wasn't able to be participating there, because they dropped the Retribution and New Day stuff. And then Mustafa Ali was challenging for the United States title. And obviously Retribution is no more. And mm-hmm. You know, they've been kind of shuffling people around. New Day is doing other stuff now with tag titles and whatnot. Now they're the tag team
champions. Yeah, tag champions again.
Now they're the tag team champions. They're facing Styles and Omos at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there's been a massive trickle down effect from that. And, you know, obviously Keith's health and everything else is the number one priority. And I hope he recovers fully from this, because this is without sounding morbid, this was bound to happen to somebody in that company after everyone was getting COVID.
Yeah. So I mean, someone was going to have lingering effects.
Someone was going to possibly deal with myocarditis or whatever mm-hmm. you pronounce it. Someone was going to be dealing with significant after effects after everything that's happened, because it's just statistically, that's just how it's been for people, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you look at baseball, I know Eduardo Rodriguez is dealing with it.
Yeah.
The couple college basketball guys, mm-hmm. you know, went through it. So it was going to happen eventually. Yeah. Unfortunately, the side effects of, you know, that's why people originally were like, oh, it's not, you know, that deadly of a disease, were off base.
Exactly.
But yeah, it sucks for Keith, because this really would have been his big, you know, time to shine at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. you would think, this year. Yeah,
it sucks for Keith, because this was, you know, supposed to be his first WrestleMania weekend too. He mm-hmm. wasn't on the card for TakeOver a couple years ago. He would have been last year as North American champion before things fizzled out, and you hate to see the extracurricular shit happen to someone so good and so respected. You know, when things are just out of your control and there's nothing that you can do about it. So I wish Keith the best. It sucks. It fucking sucks, because, you know, very few dudes deserve it more than Keith Lee. As hard as he's worked over the past 5-6 years to get to this point, you just hope that his health is okay and that he can come back and he could be a fucking monster that we know he's going to be. Let's talk more about the Mania matches that we'll be seeing on the card. There was one I didn't put down on here, but actually I'm just gonna pull up, I can't remember if I retweeted it or not. Right now we got five on each night. for Saturday and for Sunday. Let's start with Saturday. And what may be the most talked about match coming out of it, at least I feel like, because of star value, they're not doing the tag match, which I'm perfectly fine with. We're just going to get the Miz versus Bad Bunny. And I mean, obviously we know who's going to win, but like, that's not the point. You know, the point is you get one of the biggest stars in music right now. And like, let's laugh at everybody who said, oh, he's a Latin musician. No one's going to care.
Yeah.
Versus Miz, who Miz has some name value. He has more name value, I think, than the wrestling fans want to give him. Not just because of MTV and the reality shows. Like, Miz has been out here, right? And I really do think that song is going to be really good when we get it on Monday. The preview was fire.
It was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this says that, you know, they're confident that, you know, Bad Bunny has actually been at the Performance Center getting the work in.
Well, what I've heard is that Priest and Morrison are both injured.
Mm.
So they're doing the singles match. If they can get cleared, it's going to turn into a tag. But right now, it's
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
but I think they're pretty confident based on everything that I've heard with Bad Bunny. He's been at the PC classes for like 3 months now. So,
yeah,
that's good. Listen, bro, he a couple weeks ago went from Los Angeles and the Grammys right back to Orlando or Tampa for Monday Night Raw. And, you know, to see that kind of work ethic from not even a full-timer or a part-timer, but from a fucking musician who's just a fan of professional wrestling. Like, that's dope as hell to see somebody that cares that much that, like, they're still doing, you know, what they're famous for. He's still out here making music, performing XYZ, but they're also taking the time to come into WWE and not just do this for a paycheck. They're coming in to learn and do this shit the right way. I think that's something dope. And I think we're going to get a really good match out of Miz and Bad Bunny. Cause you know, no matter what kind of deficiencies Bad Bunny's going to have coming into that match, Miz can make up for, cause Miz has been that damn good of a worker, despite people trying not to say it. And then on top of that, like, yo, the folks that I work with that like don't give a fuck about wrestling, they're so hyped because Bad Bunny is in WWE. I that matters. That matters a whole hell of a lot. You got young women in their 20s tuning in because they want to see Bad Bunny. Maybe they'll stick around because they like Sasha and Bianca. Maybe they'll stick around because, you know, they want to see this Roman Reigns character that, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But,
you know, it's funny
there's so much for Bad Bunny being here.
Yeah. No, it's funny you bring that up, though, because I know everyone was dunking on Ryan Satin earlier this week for saying that, like, his barber said that he was excited to see Bad Bunny at WrestleMania. So I guess maybe it is actually a thing that people are saying.
Yeah.
You know?
It is, man. It is. Like, I when I texted one of my coworkers, the you know, they got the WrestleMania splash where it's Bad Bunny and The Miz, and she got super, super fucking excited. And she was like, oh, I don't have Peacock. And I'm like, yeah, you better pay that $5. Fuck you talking about? You want to see Benito wrestle? I bet. Pay the $5. You know, I got another friend who I share the Peacock with, and, like, you know, she'll watch wrestling intermittently when I'm like, I need somebody to watch with. And, you know, she's texting me pumped to see Bad Bunny going off top ropes and shit. It's when you have a celebrity that's loved and respected the way Bad Bunny is with his base, with the people that love his music, you know, you go for it every time. So I love how much of this is a throwback into people's faces, detractors' faces, for trying to belittle the fact that, you know, hey, WWE's going out here getting a Latin music star. I forgot, it wasn't just Dave, it was some other people. That I'm blanking on right now, and they got to eat crow when we come out of WrestleMania 2 weeks from today as we're recording this, and that's going to be the most talked about match coming out of the weekend. A lot of people gonna have to eat crow.
Yep, for sure.
So other matches happening that Saturday, we got confirmed We already know Drew and Bobby. That's going to be the headliner. We already know Sasha and Bianca. That's going to be the Kofi spot. And again, there's nothing wrong with Bianca and Sasha being the Kofi Kingston match of this card. It's actually a better spot than the main event in some instances.
Well, you know.
Don't get in a bunch.
It's too late for that. I mean, I'm staying out of this right. Everyone is already in a bunch, man.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to wrestling Twitter during the week, and it's been so good for my mental health. People are really... Yeah, didn't you, like, get, like, doxxed the other day by a 12-year-old, Chris?
No, I just got blocked by somebody because they were arguing about Bayley and Ronda Rousey in their spots on the list or whatever.
Ah, my African queen!
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, the stuff with Bianca and Sasha, again, I'm staying out of. I'm just watching from afar. People are like, I think it's cool that like people are behind it, but like,
yeah,
the hashtag stuff is just, it's not for me. And
they're hashtagging to make this the main event.
Yes, they are.
The problem is they're spamming it to hell. So Twitter is eventually probably going to flag it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's already not showing up on the trending walls or whatever. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of it. That's why I'm like, wow.
Well, because it's...
Not that I'm shocked, but...
It's mostly baked into Stan Twitter, which I'm deeply embedded.
Well, and here's my question. Yeah,
especially so, wrestling Stan Twitter.
Yes. Like, you get
some... Anyway. It's just like, you know, yeah, okay, Sasha's earned the main event, whatever. Hasn't Bobby Lashley?
I mean, you can make
hasn't Drew?
Yeah,
being that he didn't get his main event last year in front of fans.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. It feels a lot like SmackDown is focusing on building one match towards the main event, and Raw is focusing on building one match towards the main event as well. I mean, I don't think you know, one show is going to get both. I know it's happened in the past. Last year is our only example, but
I think my thing is just like. For me, it is what it is, no matter what. You know, if these two main event, okay, cool. That's awesome. If they don't, all right, they're going to have a great match anyway. My thing with this, with the hashtag stuff, is just like people are starting to like validate it and come up with these narratives and stuff like that. Like people have been saying, oh, we wanted to main event because they said that whoever wins the Rumble main events WrestleMania. And I'm like, okay, so where were you?
How many times have they done that?
Where were you last year when Charlotte won the
Rumble? Yeah, they done it once for the women.
And didn't do that. Where were you?
She led off one of the nights, didn't she? That was the first match on the second night.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, Charlotte and Rhea was the first match on the second night last year.
Yeah, and so Seth didn't main event WrestleMania 35.
And
Asuka and Shinsuke didn't main event any WrestleMania. Randy Orton didn't main event WrestleMania. Sheamus didn't. Del Rio didn't. Cena didn't. Taker didn't.
Yeah, so I mean,
Rey Mysterio didn't. Like this is a thing that happened. If you're mad about the wording of it, okay, fine, but you're not gonna, it's not gonna do anything. Like, I get the fact that there's now two nights and they can in theory make both winners main event both nights, but like, this is something that they do, whether it's right or wrong. It's just something that happens, and to me, it's just like there's a lot of energy being spent here that wasn't spent in the past. So it's like, what are you really trying to angle at? Just say that you want them to main event.
Yeah.
Don't validate it. Don't come up with stuff like that. Just say you want them to main event and someone can say, okay, fine, whatever. It's cool. But don't come up with these like reasons for validation. Don't argue with nobody or with trolls or whatever. Just do it. You want to do the hashtag stuff? Cool, go for it. But don't add unnecessary stuff that can be disproven so easily.
Yeah,
I'm gonna break into this talk
because
I'm seeing it kind of circulating on Twitter. Want to give best wishes out to the Road Dog.
Oh yeah,
said that he most likely suffered a heart attack on Thursday. Yeah, I know MAGA. It is what it is, but still want to go out and give our best wishes to the Road Dog and. Hopefully a speedy recovery is on the way for him. Now I want to turn away from that and go to another match on that Saturday card. We've got Cesaro and Seth confirmed as well. We've also got a rematch of the Intercontinental Championship, Apollo challenging Big E. Apollo actually won yesterday against Big E. So more than likely, E's going to get his win back at WrestleMania, which perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Also, wasn't really here for the way that they ended the match the other night, but
yeah.
Yeah, it was strange. I don't understand that. But yeah, I mean, everything they're adding has been pretty good. I think it's, you know, starting to come together nicely. Very strange to, you know, not have a spot for Bayley at the moment, but they have 2 weeks to remedy that.
That ship sailed.
Or they're going to do a battle royal just to get everyone out there, which, that's
real insulting.
But yeah, no, I think the cards are really...
Somebody's got to win that damn battle royal and, like, actually be relevant.
They're not going to do that.
I just...
Why not, though?
Like, yeah.
But my thing is just like nobody cares about that battle royal, and there's no one that's going to be that interesting in it anyway. So it's like, okay, what are you even doing this for?
Well, you
and I feel that, but it's also like if you're not going to put her in a match, then it's probably not best to just leave her off altogether.
I would just give her a talk show segment with somebody.
That'd be fun.
That too, you can do that too. Ding Dong Hello has been amazing.
Do that, but if you're going to do that, you need to announce it next week because you can't announce something like that a day or two before the show. So if that doesn't get announced, then I'm just going to think, okay, they're either going to toss her in the battle royal for nothing. Peyton Royce will probably eliminate her and she'll look embarrassed. And then I'll just be annoyed the entire night.
Yeah.
Anyways, the rest, I mean, Asuka Rhea looks and sounds really
interesting. Dude, I'm going down the fucking list. God damn, you guys are fucking shit up.
Don't jump ahead.
I lost. Yeah, I know. Fuck. New Day and Omos. We just talked about that. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Grand Slam champ. Cool. Now we can get to night two, motherfucker. what match were you talking about?
Asuka Rhea.
Sure. Just I swear to God, if Rhea wins this match, I'm gonna be fucking pissed.
I can see the argument for it. I can see the argument for them basically mimicking Batista and Cena in 05.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, thrown together, but I mean, they kind of have to do something with the Raw Women's title. I wouldn't be mad if Asuka wins. This is a match where, in my opinion, it's a no-lose situation. Either Asuka wins and gets a big Mania win, finally, or Rhea wins and they're serious about pushing new talent.
But in that case, does not Asuka lose because she's still looking for a signature win?
That's fair.
We've gotten this far with Asuka. Didn't they rank Asuka fifth on the greatest women's wrestlers of all time?
Yes.
What the fuck has Asuka done to be fifth? And I'm not saying that to shit on Asuka because she's done a lot. But in the grand scheme of professional wrestling, she does have a fucking WrestleMania win.
No, but she's won, you know, every title that they have and everything the Royal Rumble.
That's cool.
And Money in the Bank.
That's everything cool. Participation trophies are cool. But what are people going to remember you for? If you go out there and you have a banger at Rhea and you let her win like she should, people going to remember that. People also going to remember if you lose to Rhea on her first night in the Federation. It's like, oh, well, those other women that needed it more than Asuka. And that's always what it is with Asuka. There's always another woman. So that's kind of the issue that I got. If Rhea wins, is like
points were made.
Her the fucking star.
Does it really matter though? Because
I think actually there's a point to be made about that. I think with Rhea, if they do this right, they can have her lose and still have all of her credibility. This isn't a situation like Bianca where they have to go all in. With Rhea, she just got there to the main roster. Yes, she had the thing happen last year with Charlotte, but they clearly rebuilt her because it's very easy to rebuild someone like Rhea Ripley. And even if she loses at Mania in a hard-fought match with Asuka, there's no shame in that.
No, she'll probably get the belt in a couple months anyway.
I would respect the brazenness to try and push new talent like that, but I can also see the argument of, okay, we can have Asuka win, retain her spot, give her some edge, give her a signature Mania moment and a win finally, and then we can do the Rhea thing later on. As long as she's kept around, which she will be. Yeah, that's fair. That's reasonable. I can respect. I can respect both sides, but I think that Asuka needs the win more.
Asuka needing a WrestleMania win feels a little overblown, though. When you're gonna have
it doesn't feel overblown
when you're gonna have Sasha go to 0-5 at WrestleMania. I think that's another argument to make, but I do think
Bianca needs the win over Sasha more than Rhea needs the win over Asuka.
No, that's fair. When you put it that way,
with Sasha, so I'm willing to give some leeway to Sasha losing. It's plus, you know, it's not like Asuka's got Disney money.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Sasha's not really going to lose much besides the fact that she's never had a WrestleMania win. She's got signature wins.
Yeah, she has signature wins, and I think she's transcended a win-loss record at WrestleMania, as crazy as that sounds. And to be fair to her, I think there was only maybe one or two instances where you could have said, yeah, she should have won. The WrestleMania 32, but it was arguable that they affirmed Charlotte, and the worst crimes were later on in the year with Charlotte and Sasha, Hell in a Cell and Roadblock. And 35, them losing to the cold-ass Iconics was stupid. But
stupid as fuck.
Besides that, I mean, was anyone going to care if she won the Battle Royal at 34? No. Was she going to win last year? No. So, and was she going to win at 33? No. So with Sasha, it's a little bit more complicated, I think. But I agree that Bianca needs to win more than Rhea needs.
100%. Would it be cool to see them do that, the Batista and Cena? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be. They just kind of have to figure out, like, who can take that L at this possible time?
Yeah.
And who would it elevate? Another thing is Rhea's got the championships. Rhea's got the, you know, what I would say are signature moments, signature wins. Mm-hmm. It's more signature moments than Bianca does. Bianca's never won a championship match.
Exactly.
Not in NXT. Like, even the moments where I thought she was going to win, she got choked the fuck out by Shayna Baszler. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. I lost my train of thought with Saturday. Oh, no. I don't really care about Roman and Fiend, so like, if you want to talk about it, cool, go ahead. But I'm more interested in the match I didn't find out until this morning. That's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
Oh, yeah. I'm
so thrilled that they're getting a WrestleMania match. And like, you always knew they would get one eventually. I'm very happy they're getting a WrestleMania match now.
No, it really does kind of feel like a prophecy finally being fulfilled. You
and
know?
sort of a you know, thank you to them, I guess.
Yeah.
In a way, like, we're going to throw them a bone.
Like, I know they've had singles matches before or whatever, but this is
a big deal.
Really, the culmination of, you know, a 10 or 15 year feud going back, you know, and they'll keep feuding after it or whatever. It's kind of thrown together, but whatever. I mean, who cares?
I mean, you can throw together a feud and make it work at Mania. I mean, they did that with Redacted and Kurt Angle in 2001.
That's true.
I mean, and you know that KO and Sammy are probably over the moon about this, and that makes it better.
Yeah. And Sammy's got his friend Logan Paul coming in next week. You know,
are they getting ready for Logan Paul's big match with, or is that Jake? I don't know. The one's fighting Ben Askren.
It's Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. Does Logan do anything that I need to care about?
And he just does YouTube.
I know one of them had like a racist YouTube video. So like, fuck them. But
I mean, they're
YouTubers. Ain't that wild? Is that they calling on the racist YouTubers, and then they're also like deleting racist shit off the YouTube? Which, by the way, Lance Storm, you stupid piece of shit! What the fuck do you really get out of that match with Bad News Brown and Roddy Piper, to where you have to be irate, pissed as all hell, that you can't see a white man in half blackface fight an actual black man?
Well, I think Lance
Storm. Do you really need that match?
I think Lance Storm specifically did a bad job making his point, because he said later on, like, if you want to see real history or whatever, go to Auschwitz or something. So I think he was.
What the fuck?
Which I don't understand that either in a vacuum, but. What the I think he was not defending it as much, but there's been plenty of people defending it, be like, oh, Peacock, don't, you know, edit stuff. And I mean, they were going to take off blackface. They took off, you know, the blackface episodes of, I know 30 Rock 30 had a Rock, few. Yeah. I know other, you know, shows and movies had some. They took down Vin saying the N-word, which he shouldn't have done in the first place in 2005 or ever. N-word.
And then the silly ass statement that they put out to try to exonerate him. Like, yeah, come on, bro. We can't be doing that shit. Listen, like, yeah. I am going to miss the DX skit. where they're spoofing The Nation, although like it's gonna be all up and down YouTube, so it's not like, like I'm gonna be missing it. That's the one I was like, okay, maybe we can keep that one, just maybe.
Well,
but you know, I get it.
It's kind of interesting because, you know, like I thought they'd kind of go more with like Disney Plus did, where they do just do a disclaimer for some stuff like the Muppets, which is aged poorly.
That would require WWE to admit that they were wrong about stuff. And do you really think that they, even in this day and age, would do something like that? Well, they glorify the
Attitude Era. Oh, now I know why they only have the Raw starting in 2009. It makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah, that whole thing might become a problem for us in a couple weeks too, by the way, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's still a lot of old episodes on YouTube if I actually look for them. We'll have to figure that out when we get to that problem. But yeah, it took me forever because I'm like, okay, why don't you have any of the Raws before 2009? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, that's right. There's a murderer on them.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do about that because that's going to be an interesting one to edit. And you know, a lot of people are like, oh, they're editing this stuff out, but letting Hulk Hogan host WrestleMania. I mean, it's not the same, but they also shouldn't, because fuck Hulk Hogan. I mean, they should. Peacock could very easily step in and be like, hey, don't do this. But he's also going to, you know, pop a number for them, because
I'm trying to wonder, like, how much of the, like, there's going to be no HLA. There's going to be, I can't imagine a lot of the Billy and Chuck shit is going to be on there.
No.
Like, they have a lot of stuff to. Mae Young getting put through a table. They got a lot of shit to scrub from these episodes before they put them up. So
the Kurt Angle stuff we're coming up on will probably
edited. Yes. Yes. No bestiality sex on Peacock. No, sir.
But it's interesting because one of the ECW pay-per-views they have on there, the dude is just like leaking blood. So it's interesting what they censor and what they have kept on so far.
Man, I think they can get away with blood.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be interesting.
It will be. We'll talk about NXT next week. Maybe we'll talk about Strowman Shane. I really don't care about Strowman Shane.
I really don't give a crap about that either.
Exactly. Before we get to Raw SmackDown, let's talk about the two confirmed but three known new additions to the Hall of Fame. First off, Batista's off of this year's class. I wondered about that literally days before the announcement came out, and it just makes sense. You know, Dave has to do that in front of a crowd. It would be very fucking cheap for him to just do that on video. So they add a couple names to take his place. One of them is Kane, and obviously well-deserved. I didn't think that Kane would get in before Taker. But Kane's going to the Hall of Fame. Anything to say about Kane?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you said, he obviously deserves it. I know he's revealed himself to be a bit of an asshole in the last year, but, you know, looking past that, the guy who really probably had a longer career with variants of one gimmick than he should have, and he made it work.
So, yeah, I mean, also getting in the great Khali, which again is deserved for the simple fact that he's the first Indian in WWE history to win that belt. He set the course for Jinder Mahal and Kavita Devi, and you know, the influx of Indian superstars that we now have in the PC. Yes, he's not the best of wrestlers, but you know, when you make history like that, you have a place in the Hall of Fame. Plus, he's like what, 7'4"? Fuck.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you know, Great Khali was never really for me, but you know, it's the WWE Hall of Fame, man. It's pretty much who cares? Like, really?
Seriously.
I mean,
did he ever have another WrestleMania match besides the one he had with Kane at 23?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Huh. Yeah, no, that doesn't sound like he would have. I think he just had the one. Let's see.
No, he was in a Battle Royal 24.
Yeah, it looks to be one
not counting the Battle Royals.
And then he was in a dark match Battle Royal that he won. Yeah. WrestleMania 27.
Those don't count.
He was added to Teddy Long's WrestleMania 28 team.
That they were was it.
By John Laurinaitis' team on the 1st of April, and he was in the Andre. He was in the Andre at WrestleMania 30.
He was in the first Andre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I was just trying to think. I'm like, damn, like once he had that little mini-ass run from like when he came in to when he dropped the strap a year later, he hadn't really done shit. He was just a Punjabi playboy. But yeah, man, congratulations to him. And then not confirmed yet officially, but will be joining the Hall of Fame. The first of the, not ECW originals, because he's not an ECW original, but the first of those original stars from the original ECW, Rob Van Dam. Thrilled beyond belief that RVD is going to be able to call himself a WWE Hall of Famer. He is the greatest of that bunch of ECW wrestlers who made the turnover to the Federation. And it just a fucking amazing athlete. I mean, we see it. We're not seeing it now because he just had the knee injury and he won't be back until 2006, I believe, like early 2006 is when he comes back. But just such a fucking athlete, man. And you know, one of the few styles I think from ECW that was able to translate well into WWE.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm really happy for him. Big Rob Van Dam guy, even though, you know, he came back and he was bad, but it's fine. You know, good for him.
I don't even remember that that era of Rob Van Dam. It doesn't exist to me.
There you go, man.
Absolutely doesn't exist. Can't wait to see Katie Forbes at the Hall of Fame. No, it's not going to be a live Hall of Fame. Damn, that sucks. Anyway, let's get into Raw. We have a very special edition of SmackDown on the horizon, but we begin on Monday nights where we're trending towards Triple H and Batista, and also a pretty important ladder match.
Yeah.
Yeah, so before we do that, of course, we're going to travel back in time a little bit. The top five movies in America going from 5 to 1 here. Number 5 was Hitch. Number 4 was Ice Princess. Number 3 was the Princess. Number 3 was The Pacifier.
Oh God.
Number 2 was Robots. And number 1 was The Ring 2.
People were big on the Ring movies.
Yeah, they
man.
Were big on the Ring movies, man. That made $35 million gross. And then the top 5 songs on the Billboard Hot 100 that week. Number 5, Rising Up, was Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson. Number 4 was Obsession by Frankie J featuring Baby Bash.
Oh, no SMR. What a fucking banger. Oh God. It's funny because if you link up with a Mexican dude in 2021, he probably still has this song by Baby Bash and Frankie J as his ringtone.
Number 3 was Disco Inferno by 50 Cent. Number 2 and number 1 were Unchanged, Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day, and number 1 was still Candy Shop.
Have you seen the Disco Inferno video? Any of you seen the Disco Inferno video?
I don't think so.
I don't remember. I probably did, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, it only came on BET Uncut. So take that for what it's worth.
Yes. All right, so we have some news about somebody who's working a very big match at WrestleMania first before we delve into what's going on here.
Yes, Randy Orton is scheduled for shoulder surgery immediately after WrestleMania. So it seems like he won't be ending Undertaker's undefeated streak, assuming that was ever considered in the first place. Instead, he's going to suffer a decisive loss, end up selling the beating he takes. I mean, it's not really a decisive loss, but, you know, he loses and he's gone till August, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, and comes right back for Undertaker. I know you don't have any sports stuff this week, but it was the
not yet, not in the beginning of the week. Okay. Later in the week we can talk about it.
Let's get into Raw.
Yes.
From Birmingham on March 21st, 2005, opening the show with Shawn Michaels against Rob Conway. You know, La Resistance looking for revenge for last week. Conway has Earl Hebner distracted, and Sylvain Grenier hits Shawn with the flag on the outside and rolls him back in, but he kicks out a 2. And Shawn ultimately wins with sweet chin music, and it was fine. Not a bad match.
A bad match at all. And then we get into a video package hyping up Kurt Angle's life and career accomplishments. It's very well done. Mm. And if you listen very carefully, I've noticed this many a times watching this video package. And I think the video package for, I think it was Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker in No Way Out 2006. After Michael Cole says he's the most decorated athlete in WWE history, you can hear the faintest beginning of Brock Lesnar's theme song, because that soundbite was taken from WrestleMania 19.
Yep.
They never edited it out. If you listen in carefully, you can hear the start of the next big thing, whatever they call that theme song.
We move on to William Regal, Tajiri, and Christy against Simon, Maven, and Molly. Trish comes down to watch a match at ringside. Christy gets a pin on Molly with a twist of fate, which is a funny sentence to read.
Yes, it is.
But
it's a very funny sentence to read.
Triple H is here, takes a chair, and sits down in the middle of the ring and talks forever. Talking about how he handpicked Orton and Batista as the future of the business, and the only thing capable of stopping Evolution was Evolution itself. And then Orton and Batista blew up the group. Batista was a big star who won the Royal Rumble, made a bad decision to turn on Triple H because he would have beaten JBL or Cena or both of them. But now he's stuck on Raw and he's not good enough to win. Triple H is the greatest wrestler alive today. Everyone says they're the best or they're the wrestling god, but there's only one Triple H. Batista's match with Kane tonight is going to be a lumberjack match, which I didn't know Triple H could just add that to the
pick your poison. I was going to say it is the pick your poison stipulation. So, you know, he has the power. He's wielding everything.
Yeah. So I get it, but
he would have made a really good He-Man. Now that you mentioned he has the power.
Yeah. Yeah. Move on to Jericho and Shelton against Edge and Christian. Shelton misses a stinger splash on Edge, and Christian hits him with the Intercontinental title from outside, and Edge gets the pin. Tomko gets involved, and they kind of all start brawling, and then Benoit comes out to even things up, and everyone brawls. So, you know, hyping up Money in the Bank a little more.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we went backstage. Ric Flair was rallying up the Lumberjacks. Said whether they know it or not, Batista screwed all of them by not going to SmackDown, so that they don't have a chance to fight for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Triple H is also recruiting new members for Evolution.
Yeah.
Half-truthing there, maybe. Bischoff headed to Batista's locker room, said that he had no idea that Triple H was going to make it a lumberjack match. He wanted to know if Batista was worried about being a marked man. Batista says that he is not. And Eric said that if Batista wins the World Heavyweight title, he'll be proud of him and proud to have him as his champion. And Batista told him that he'd make a great politician. Randy and Stacy Keeler were discussing if he's sure he wants to face The Undertaker, and he is. He has a surprise for The Undertaker in the box that he's holding. He's going to go to the ring right now and wants Stacy to come with him. So they go to the ring. Randy says that he refuses to be afraid, as his confidence is at an all-time high. He shows the updated Randy Orton Legend Killer shirt, in which he's added The Undertaker's name to it already. He says he will not be a victim, but Undertaker will. We then get a video package featuring all of Randy's accomplishments. And then we come back, Randy kisses Stacy, but then RKO'd her.
Damn, man.
Not cool.
Can't be That's doing
3 years worth of long-term storytelling gone down the drain because Orton decided to RKO Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
So Stacy is technically the second woman he's RKO'd, right? Because didn't he hit Moolah first?
Yes.
Moolah was the first?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, man. I know how we feel about it. If there's anybody in the Federation that's consistently brought the toxicity, it's Randy Orton. So, hey, Stacy, you just end up catching a stray, you know. you was all right. You was on Dancing with the Stars a year from now. You was good.
Mm-hmm. We get a Chris Benoit against Tyson Tomko match. Benoit wins in 2 minutes because look at the guys in the match.
Exactly.
You know,
Tyson fucking Tomko. Okay, like, shit.
Muhammad Hassan comes across Shawn Michaels in the back, says that Shawn doesn't understand the discrimination he goes through on a daily basis, and Hassan deserves to be on the WrestleMania card. Shawn tells him he's not entitled to anything, and if Hassan wants to be part of WrestleMania, he can prove it next week and go one-on-one with Michaels.
One of the worst people to do that with is Shawn. Just like, stop.
We get the Taxi Driver parody, which was pretty funny. I forgot about that one.
Great. So good.
It's a very good one.
So good.
And then we get Kane against Batista, pick your poison, anything goes lumberjack match with all the heels serving as lumberjacks because Triple H picked them all, but they really don't do anything. And then Kane ends up on the outside, and Snitsky goes after him, and then Batista and Kane kind of take out pretty much all the lumberjacks. Then they end up back in the ring, and Kane hits a choke slam, but Batista kicks out of two and then wins with the Batista bomb. So
simple and effective enough.
And next week, Triple H will go face to face with Batista in the ring.
Yes. Okay, so we move right along. SmackDown is taking place on March 24th, 2005. Also taking place on March 24th, 2005, and of course, March 25th, 2005, were the Sweet 16 for the 2005 NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. In the Albuquerque Regional, Louisville defeated one-seeded Washington 93-79, and seventh-seeded West Virginia, with Kevin Pitznagle, defeated sixth-seeded Texas Tech 65-60. And in the Chicago...
That is a name I have not heard in forever. Kevin Pitznagle. Yep.
There you go. Damn. And then in the Chicago or Rosemont Regional, whichever you prefer to call it, the one-seeded Illinois Fighting Illini defeated the Milwaukee Panthers, 12-seed, 77-63. And three-seeded Arizona defeated two-seeded Oklahoma State, 79-78. On
interesting. Friday, I wonder what happens on that Saturday.
Yeah. On Friday in the Austin Regional, fifth-seeded Michigan State defeated top-seeded Duke, 78-68. And then two-seeded Kentucky defeated six-seeded Utah, 62-52. And in the Syracuse Regional, Wisconsin, a six-seed, defeated a 10-seed NC State, 65-56. And UNC, the top seed, defeated Villanova, the five seed, 67-66. So our Elite Eight matchups are set.
Would you like to just do the Elite Eight real quick?
We can do the Elite Eight. That's fine. You can do the Elite Eight. Actually, fun little anecdote. I remember on that Saturday, March 26th, I had actually gone to a New Jersey Nets Minnesota Timberwolves game where I was like five rows away from the court, and I was just marveling at how big like Kevin Garnett and Kenyon Martin were. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, they looked gigantic.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. But anyways, yes.
This was after the Vince Carter trade, right?
Yes, this was after the Vince Carter trade.
Okay. Yeah.
So Vince was there. So we had one of, if not, I think, the best Elite Eights ever. So you had Louisville defeating West Virginia to make the Final Four with a 93-85 overtime victory. And of course, in Rosemont, you had Illinois making a ridiculous comeback to defeat Arizona in overtime 90-89. One of the more memorable games ever.
Well, I watched the end again yesterday. I mean, they were down by 14 with like 4 minutes to go.
Yeah, I thought it was dead in the water.
Yeah.
I turned off and started watching Cubs spring training because I just thought it was dead in the water. I'm like, yeah, well, time to get ready to root for Nomar this season. And then they just roared back. Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing comeback. It was great. Wish it had been a natty. But.
And then on that Sunday, which I believe was Easter Sunday, you had North Carolina defeating Wisconsin 88-82. And then in a wild two-overtime game at the Frank Erwin Center in Austin, you had Michigan State defeating Kentucky 94-88. That game I very, very much remember happening as it was happening live. It's, like I said, this was three of the four weekends regional finals were decided in overtime, which was a first for, you know, the NCAA tournament at the time. So, like I said, this still stands up as one of the best Elite Eights ever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. 2005 is a really damn good year for college ball. It's the final one where we get the freshmen that can go off to the league. So I feel like it's, you know, one of the last true great years for college basketball. And it's shown in the Elite Eight that year. So.
Hold on. There's 12 minutes left in this game, and Loyola has 24 points.
Ugly. It's fucking hideous. I can't even just blame Illinois. I just can't even just blame Loyola because it's like Oregon State has 37 points. I tweeted like with 2 minutes to go in the first half. Like, is anybody gonna score 100? Will they both combine for 100? Probably not.
God.
Fuck.
Well. All right, let's get SmackDown.
Best team in Illinois. Fuck out of here. Ruin my bracket. You ruined everyone's fun for the tournament. For what? So we can go listen to Sister Jean? Fuck out of here, man.
SmackDown from Memphis, Tennessee in the FedEx Forum, which I don't think I realized it was open by this point, but
yeah, you know, they
I think it opened the previous November.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving out from the Pyramid, which is mm-hmm. now a Bass Pro Shops.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Taz in the ring to open the show with an interview with Big Show. In 10 days, he'll be facing Aki Bono in a sumo match, and Big Show's never done sumo, but Aki Bono has. And next week, they'll have a weigh-in. Both Taz and Big Show think that Aki Bono will outweigh him, but Big Show is bigger than him. Mm-hmm. Luther Reigns comes to the ring in a Jeep, says that all Big Show talks about how this is going to be the biggest match in WrestleMania history. And that's obvious because they're both very big, but sumo-style match doesn't benefit Big Show at all, so Luther should be in the match instead, even though he also has no sumo experience.
Yeah.
So that he's going to show how strong he is by flipping the Jeep that he drove out there, and he's unable to. So he comes to the ring and attacks Big Show, and Big Show hits a choke slam, and then Big Show flips the Jeep on his own. Eddie and Chavo are talking in the back, and Chavo says that they're family, so he's not going to lie to him, but what he sees is Ray holding him down. You know, Eddie did all the work last week, and then Ray came in and stole the pin, which it was because Ray was a legal man.
Yeah.
Chavo says, you know, he just wants Eddie to listen to him, and Eddie says he doesn't have to, but you know, Eddie should listen to his own heart and soul, and Chavo knows that Eddie wants to prove who is better once and for all between him and Ray. So,
you know, are we sure that this is Chavo? Are we sure this isn't Kerwin White talking to Eddie?
Yeah, you know, Chavo's really instigating here.
He really is.
Turning family, like, against family. It's ugly.
Scotty Tuhati against Orlando Jordan meet up for the United States Championship, but before the match can get underway, JBL is, you know, mocking him and bullying him. So Scotty super kicks him and then does the worm. And JBL says that he's wrestling in Orlando's place and gets the win pretty quickly. Josh Matthews is with Kurt Angle, and Kurt says he has a special guest tonight, a blast from Shawn Michaels' past. Teddy Long comes out, says he has an Elvis impersonator for the crowd, and it is Carlito. Sings Jailhouse Rock, and it's very bad.
Yes.
You know, for this to be the penultimate show to WrestleMania, it's not good. Eddie runs into Ray backstage because they're getting ready for their tag match, but you know, WrestleMania is 10 days away and they don't have a match, so maybe they should face each other. Ray says he's gonna think about it, but they gotta focus on their match tonight first. Undertaker's on the screen with a message to Randy Orton. Tonight there's going to be a victim and a sacrifice, so he can show that he means business.
When we get our tag team title match between Charlie Haas and Hardcore Holly against Eddie and Ray, we get some spooky lightning and thunder during this match. Ray and Eddie were able to be cohesive, retain their titles. Eddie hit the frog splash for the win, and then Ray accepted Eddie's Mania challenge afterwards.
Yeah.
And then Kurt Angle comes down to the ring and Shawn Michaels' music and his gear, and then motions to the, from the back, and out walks the Sensational Sherry.
You know what I always loved, even the first time it was on? Kurt putting tape over the H and the yeah. B on the, so just the K is yes. showing on the shirt.
It's fucking hilarious. He definitely took that from Shane. That was definitely a Shane idea.
Kurt said he proved last week that he's a better athlete than Sean, and tonight he's going to prove that he's a better entertainer as well. He's going to redo Sean's theme with Sherry's help, and he does just that.
So good.
Yeah, just really good stuff.
So amazing.
Sean comes on the screen and says that Sherry looks great, but then he says he's lying. It's not really rude. Any reason for that.
Yeah, there's no reason.
He plays a video of his accomplishments, like Kurt played on Raw the other day, and Sherry gets a little emotional watching it, and then Kurt puts her in the ankle lock. Just a very good segment.
Yes. At all time.
Yeah. Good to see Sherry. I believe she goes in the Hall of Fame in 2006 mm-hmm. and then
yeah.
passes away in 2007. Passes.
Yeah.
Dawn Marie beat Michelle McCool. I don't have anything for that.
Booker T faced Renee Dupree. Taker came out. Renee Dupree was the sacrifice. Choke slammed and tombstone and taken to a local medical facility afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, tombstone him on the stairs.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know why you would make your sacrifice at someone that is people actually care about, yeah. but, you know. Teddy Long, John Cena, and JBL are in the ring for the face-off. Cena can't do anything to JBL unless JBL does something first. Teddy Long starts the debate by asking JBL what makes him believe he's most qualified to be WWE champion. JBL says that he's someone to look up to. And, you know, the champion on the other show brags about being a 10-time world champion, but that means that he's lost 9 times. JBL is the only champion in history who has never lost his championship, which...
not technically true, but we'll
it's, go with it's it. Fine. Cena gets the same question, wants to know why someone as successful as JBL would drive to the ring with a broken down limo. JBL says the limo's fine, and Cena says they should go take a look, and then he punctures the tire. Teddy Long says he's not going to do anything about it because Cena hasn't touched JBL. Then he spray paints JBL sucks on the limo, comes back to the ring, tells JBL to hit him, but JBL would rather get back to the debate. So they continue that, and JBL says it's very important to look at what a criminal like John Cena just did to his car. And JBL tells Cena he'd look better in a suit and tie, so Cena cuts JBL's tie with scissors without touching him, puts the tie on, then he takes JBL's hat and fills it with water and puts it back on JBL's head. Cena says JBL thinks he's clever for not playing his games, but he's actually a coward, and he sprays a yellow stripe down his back and sprays FU on the front of it, and Cena leaves. JBL is real upset.
You know, that was entertaining.
Yeah, it was a good way to end the segment. It's a good way to close the show. You know, they're really hammering home this, you know, they can't touch each other thing, so it's good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Who is our King of the Ring? I shudder to think who the King of the Ring is. Should it just be Kurt?
Yes.
Yeah, let's just go with Kurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did the most memorable thing inside of a ring this week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And for the simple fact that you brought Sensational Sherry back and, you know, we don't have much more time with Sherry. She gets inducted in the Hall of Fame this upcoming 2006. And then and she passes away, I want to say, like, right before the Benoit stuff happened. I can't remember if it was right before or right after.
No, it was like a week before because it kind of got lost in the shuffle, unfortunately, because of all that.
Yeah, it did. I remember it was really good to see Sherry again. To me, Sherry is one of the more underrated women to perform in wrestling, whether it's as a wrestler or a valet. People forget Sherry was a really good wrestler for AW, whatever the fuck that is. AWA, sorry. AEW kind of fucks up my brain when it comes to the A promotions. She was a good wrestler in Minnesota. Fuck. And then coming over, doing the stuff with Macho and shit. And then, you know, she was really the first person that we got to see Shawn break out with. And for her to come back and do this stuff with Kurt, which was just so fucking funny. It was good to see her back. But yeah, Kurt's going to be our King of the Ring for this week. Goodness, I can't imagine what he's going to do 10 days from this SmackDown. We'll just have to see next week when we watch WrestleMania 21. Am I right? You know what? I think what we'll do is we'll do Raw and SmackDown. We'll do some other stuff. We'll probably preview the TakeOver, the two-night TakeOver, as much as we know about it. Mm-hmm. And then during the week of WrestleMania, we'll give you guys WrestleMania 21 proper, so you have that in the lead-up to WrestleMania. Anything else before we get up out of here and you guys can go watch your college ball?
Nope, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you guys go enjoy Loyola. yeah, God, it's so hard. I get on people for saying Loyola, so me fucking up Loyola is just so bad. You can follow me at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobOneMule31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. These guys went back and they watched the final Nitro ever in 2001, which I had no idea WWE bought WCW until 2 days later when I got off of grounding, turned on Thunder, and I'm like, why is there no Thunder on? What's happening? What's happening? But these guys, Chris Osborne, they went back, watched Nitro for you guys. That's on the main feed. Coming up very soon, we'll have the March edition of the Top 25. That's part of the $10 Patreon tier. Go ahead and give us our full 10 if you would rather bitch and complain on the internet. Then, I mean, guess what, you're just probably broke at life. Not broke monetarily, just broke at life, because if you support us, if you love what we've been doing for 3 years and change, well, $5 extra ain't shit, and you know, it all goes towards the brand and towards building what we're trying to do here. So we appreciate every dollar, every cent, every good word that we see out there on the streets. It It's all priceless, let's be honest with you. At BarberSharingNet on Twitter, facebook.com/BarberSharingNet, Instagram at BarberSharingNet. I don't know what else to think about. So we'll get up out of here. Remember, next week we'll do Raw and SmackDown. We'll also talk about the two-night takeover, Stand and Deliver. You'll get WrestleMania 21 the week after, along with our predictions for WrestleMania 37 in Tampa, the two-night WrestleMania. For Chris and Rob, I am Pierce. You've been listening to Ruthless Aggression. Thank you for joining us for another week. We'll see you guys next week.